Right. And Jerry Vaughn was actually the program director, and then he did the afternoon show.
Yeah.
And then he was on Sportsline as well. So I have fond memories of Jerry as well. But then somewhere along the line, this guy by the name of Bill Land comes along. And he then, I believe, he comes from Wichita because Swanson Broadcasting yes. owned a station there. And they suggested that he come to Tulsa, which, of course, he did. And that's why Bill Land came to KRMG.
Well, when Bill Land came, I was doing it. And that was in the spring. I don't know what year it was, but it was in the spring. And I was still at Webster High School. And as a result of that, Ron Blue, we just kept going. I kept saying, hey, I can't do this. I've got a job. And so when Bill Land comes, why, he comes and listens to me for a couple of days and doesn't come on. And then he takes over, and we became good friends, and I just admire him and his work.
This would have been 1981. Bill came to Tulsa. I'm not sure what. I think it was the summer of 1981.
Yep.
All right. So that was your connection to Bill and how you became friends and stayed. We'll talk about that as well. And you had the opportunity to interview many great sports people as a result of being at KRMG and with Bill. Some names like Muhammad Ali.
Muhammad Ali is one of the best ones because he was in town conducting some kind of a social affair that he was a part of, and they had us set up where we were going to have him on the show. Well, he comes in and he sits for 10 minutes, and then they come and get him. And I'm sitting there, what am I going to do? It was that little closet. So they bring in one of his aides, and we get through the show. He comes back, and he apologizes. And as a result of that, he says, I want you to come to my party tonight. And gave me the ticket, and okay, I go to the party.
At the Camelot Inn, I might interject. At
no,
the Camelot,
it was
wasn't
in
it?
It was in a hotel downtown.
Okay.
And up on the top floor, and I go through all the process, and I walk in there, and he is standing up at the end of a table, and there's probably 25 people on the table. And I walked up to the end, and he did a magic trick where he pulled a handkerchief out of his hand, and he shook it, and he put it back, and it was gone. Well, that was a fake thumb that he was doing. I was a little magic myself. I had one that was the same handkerchief. And when he did that, a bunch of the people says, where'd it go? Where'd it go? I said, here it is. I pulled out. Muhammad looks at me like, what in the world? I said, okay, I'm going to give it back to you. I'll put it go. Boom, I throw it. And he says, thank you. And he says, come with me. We go into his bedroom. and he said, that is, I introduced myself and again, and he thanked me. And he said, do you have any others? And I said, yeah, I have a 50-cent piece here. And I had a 50-cent piece that you could hide in your hand and put in a glass of water with a be a piece of glass. And so I showed that to him. He says, can I have it? And I said, well, sure. So we go back out, and he does that trick. So we were good friends.
Oh, what a wonderful. And that was in the 80s sometime?
Yeah.
There? Right, right. And you're thinking, and by that time, he had, I don't know where he was in his career, Muhammad Ali. He had obviously been the heavyweight for
right,
some.
Right, right. He was retired at that point. But
I think just recently
right,
he was
right.
retired.
All right. And you're thinking, here I am teaching Muhammad Ali a trick. What a great experience that was.
Well, it kind of scared me when he says, come with me in the bedroom. I thought, oh, my.
Okay, then, were you used to carrying tricks with you all the time? Why would you bring a trick to the Muhammad Ali?
Well, I don't know. I was at Webster High School then. Also belonged to the Lions Club, and I don't know how, I just got to doing it, and I had about 10 different tricks that I could do, and I did them well. I mean, if you didn't know what it was, you'd have a hard time finding out. And those two I just carried in my pocket.
Okay, so you were normally doing... Yeah. And, man, you didn't know the Muhammad Ali did...
Oh, I had no clue.
Yeah, that was a great story.
I had no clue.
And then the Tulsa Roughnecks in our town, that's a great story because soccer was never as big as it was when the Roughnecks were in our town and the whole town was talking about it. But, of course, Bill Land did the play-by-play for the Roughnecks.
Yes.
And then you did the sideline reports, right?
Yes.
And then I will bring up the name of Noel Lemon. Noel Lemon was the owner or the manager of the Tulsa Roughnecks. I don't know what kind of experience you had with Noel Lemon or not.
Well, I didn't have as much experience with him as I did because I did it because of Bill Land. And I made so many mistakes that I didn't know anything about it. And as a result, why it was sometimes not very well for me to be a part of the program.
Oh. Well, Noel became a huge name in our town and controversial at times, but he brought it to us. And I feel funny telling you sports guys, but if you're going to name one of the top five events in Tulsa, Oklahoma, it would be when the Tulsa Roughnecks played the New York Cosmos. That great soccer player, Pele, and the town, I'll never forget. And when the Roughnecks beat New York, we thought we were on the top of the world.
Major leagues.
And Major League. And I just know that that has to be counted as one of the top five sport events that happened in our town. When Nolan Richardson won the NIT at TU would be another one, as
right.
a matter of fact. But you guys could fill out the rest of them. But anyway, it was fun, and we enjoyed the Tulsa Roughnecks in our town. They brought soccer to our town. There's no question
yep.
about that.
Yep.
And how he did that is beyond me.
Yeah, he was quite the showman, and later ended up helping bringing the World Cup to America. He ended up, after the Roughnecks, Noel moved to Miami, yep. and Marlboro paid him millions to promote the World Cup coming to America, and that's what Noel did in his latter years.
Yeah, no longer with us now. Right. But and then you continue your broadcast career. You helped build with ORU games.
Yes.
And with Tulsa University when Nolan Richardson came to town. Now, that was a big thing when Nolan Richardson came to town. And you remember Ed Becerra and Haas and how close those two were? That was a great time for our city.
You know, Nolan Richardson, I think, is one of the best basketball coaches that we have had here at the University of Tulsa. And he was such a great person to work with and always... I would be with him right after the game was over while we'd have him for a few minutes on the radio. And there'd be times when maybe the game was just tough, I mean tough, and we won in the closing seconds. And I'd be there and he'd say, let's rest a minute. and we'd sit there and we'd got to talk. And he says, okay, now let's go. And he'd come aboard. But he was, it was just wonderful to be around him.
As I recall, and you guys can embellish on this, we'd never seen this before. He played two sets of five guys, and he'd play five, and his other five were ready to come in and replace them totally. Isn't that true?
He'd wear other teams out.
Right.
Yeah, that was really the
oh yeah
the mode of operandi for him. And Nolan was, I mean, if you got to know him and understand his background, it's a lot like Barry Switzer's. You can't help but respect where he came from and where he ended up, because Nolan's one of three TU the first of three TU basketball coaches to go on to other schools and win national championships at the college level. He and Tubby Smith and Bill Self and JV worked with all three of them on the broadcast.
Well, you know what was so great about Nolan? He started out on a high school level. And, I mean, he knew it from the very bottom, what had to be done with players and had to be done with media and all of the other fans. And as a result of that, I think that's why he was so successful in everything that he did.